The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kitzur Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzur365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Dov Lev.
We are learning the laws of Purim. Simin Kuf Mem Aleph, Sif Aleph. Mishenichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha. When Adar comes in, so we increase our happiness. Now, there's a Machlokes HaPoskim, whether this is true in a year when there's two Adars, if it is true regarding the first Adar, Adar Rishon, as well. It's brought down in the Shelos Yavetz, that he says, this is in Chelek Beis, Simen Peches, he paskins that it's dafka and Adar Sheni. The same thing is brought in the Tshuvas Teshuva Me'ava. And this is the way it's paskin in the Tshuvas Shevet HaLevi. However, there are other sources which say that's even true in Adar Rishon. And this is the implication of the Tshuvas Chasam Sofer. It's the Svas Emes. And Lukutim of Rosh Chodesh said the same thing. In any case, the Kitzur goes on and says, V'Yisrael sheyesh lo din udvarim im goy, yishpot imo b'chodesh zeh. Any Jew has a court case with a non-Jew, he should make it his business to be judged in this month. Now, of course, you don't always have a choice, but whenever you have a choice, you should, and you have a court case with a guy, this is the best month to do it because it's more likely to go in your favor. Now, if you have a court case with a Jew, of course it doesn't make a difference which month you do it, because you're both Jewish. The origin of this halacha can be found in the Gemara Tainis, Daf Chaf Tes Amud Beis. The Gemara says, Amarav Papa, Hilkach Bar Yisrael De Isle Dina Bahadinachri. Rapapa says that, therefore, since we have the concept of Mishenichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha, a Bar Yisrael, any Jew, the is Beidina Bahadi Nachri, if he has a court case with a non-Jew, so he'd be better off doing it in Adar. Limtzi Nafshi Ba'Adar Debari Mazle. He's best off doing it in Adar because his mazel is healthy, it's stronger. Now, this idea of a mazel being stronger in the month of Adar raises some interesting questions. In the Chedushi HaRitva over there, he asked the question. He says, what do you mean, mazel? The Gemara says in Shabbos, and daf kuf nun vav amen aleph, ein mazel li Yisrael, that the Jewish nation is not subject to mazel. So the Ritva offers two answers. First of all, he says that the Gemara says that the Jewish nation has no mazel, that's talking about on the other months of the year. But in the month of Adar, then everyone would agree that we are subject to mazel. Now that's a very interesting approach. It has a lot of fascinating ramifications. And then the Ritva offers a second answer. He says maybe when the Gemara says that his mazel will be stronger, it doesn't mean literally a mazel, but it's referring to a general gzera, a general decree. A heavenly decree is going to be called a mazel, and that is the month of Adar is a time when the decree is for the Jewish nation to be on top. And that's why we should do court cases with a non-Jew, specifically in the month of Adar whenever possible. Now, Rabbi Vadi Yosef offered another approach. He says, based on a Tosfos in Mod Katan, Tosfos says that even though we have a principle of Ein Mazel Yisrael, but nevertheless, when there is a great schus, when we have a very strong merit, so then we would be subject to the mazel. So, based on that, during the month of Adar, we are certainly subject to a strong merit, and that would explain why we do have the principle of mazalas in the month of Adar. One other interesting thing is the Chasam Sofer and the Tshuva writes that in the Rambam you'll find no mention of this idea that a court case with a goy should be held specifically during the month of Adar. The Chasam Sofer explains because the Rambam does paskin like the opinion of the Gemara that says Ein Mazel Yisrael. According to that approach, of course, that means the Shulchan Aruch and the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch do not paskin that way. Now, there's a very interesting thing in Rashi over there in the Gemara. Rashi in Tainus, Daf Chav Tes, Rashi says Mishenichnas Adar. He explains Yimei Nisim Hoyu Li Yisrael Purim VePesach, that the Jewish nation had miracles occurred to them on Purim and Pesach. Now, Purim is in the month of Adar, but Pesach is not. So why is Rashi mentioning anything about Pesach now? So in the Elyar Rabba, he explains Rashi that when it says Mishenichnas Adar Marbim Besimcha, it's not limiting itself to the month of Adar, but it means Adar and Nisan together. The only reason why it mentioned specifically Adar, because it's Mishenichnas Adar. It says when Adar comes in, so then we increase Simcha. But it's not limited to Adar, it will continue through Nisan. According to that, if someone would have a court case with a non-Jew, if they don't necessarily have to do it during the month of Adar, they could do it during the month of Nisan as well. Now we are up to the laws of Tainus Esther. Halacha Beis. Bimei Mordechai ve'Esther nikalu ha-Yehudim b'shlosha asur l'chodesh Adar. In the days of Mordechai and Esther, all of the Jews gathered together on the 13th of the month of Adar, la'amod al nafsham ulhinokei me'oyvehem, to stand up to protect their lives and to avenge their enemies. V'hoyutzrichim levakesh rachamim me'es Hashem, and they needed to daven, to pour out their heart to Hashem Yisbarach Shemo, she'yazrein, that He should help them. U'matzino, and we find shekasha ha'Yisrael b'milchama, that whenever Jews go out to war, hisanu shiyazrim Hashem, they fast in order that Hashem should help them. V'gam Moshe Rabbeinu alav hashalom, and the same thing is true of Moshe. Bayom shenilcham im Amalek hisanu, that on the day that he battled against Amalek, he fasted. V'im kein mistamar Gam Oz. If so, it is likely that it also happened then, Bimei Mordechai ve'Esther, Hisanu Biyom Yudgimo Ba'adar, that they fasted on this day of the 13th of Adar, Ulechein Kiblu Aleim Kol Yisrael Yom Zer L'Tainis Tzibur. And therefore, because Klal Yisrael fasted on this day, therefore the whole Jewish nation accepted this as a public fast, V'nikra Tainus Esther, and it was called the Fast of Esther, Kidei Liskar Shehabora Yisbarech Shemo Roa V'Shomea Tfilas Ko'ish Be'es Saroso, in order to remind us that the Creator of blessed be He, He sees and He listens to the prayers of every person when they cry out at a time of danger. Kasha Yisane V'Yashuv El Hashem B'chol Levavo, when he fasts and he does tshuva to Hashem wholeheartedly, K'moshe Asa L'Aviseinu B'Yom Mehem, just like Hashem did to our ancestors in those days. So this is the concept behind Tainus Esther. Now the Rambam refers to Tainus Esther as a universally accepted minhag. However, there's another Rishon, the Nemuki Yosef, in the beginning of Gemara Megillah, who says that Tainus Esther was actually instituted by the Anshe Knesset HaGedolah. Umikol makom, ein Tainus zeh chova kol kach kemo arba tanios. In any case, this fast is not obligatory like those the other four fasts, Sheksuvim b'mikra, which are written in Navi. There's no allusion to this in Navi. Ulechein yesh lahako bo be'es atzarech. Therefore, one can be lenient with this fast at a time of need. Kimo mi'ubaros u'meinikios. For example, women who are pregnant or who are nursing, or even someone who's a little bit ill, he has pain in his eyes. In all of these cases, if a person would have much pain through fasting, they should not fast. And the same is true of a woman within the 30 days after she has given birth, which means that even if she's not suffering, there's still no need for her to fast. And the same thing is true of a chosen in the 7 days of his Shavar Brachos. Ein sorech lehisanos, he does not need to fast. And of course, the same thing will be true of the kallah, by the way. V'yifru'u es hatainis achakach, but they should make up the fast afterwards. Now, this is actually subject to dispute, because many poskim hold that it is not necessary to make up tainis esther afterwards. Unlike other fast days, which are more critical, tainis esther, which doesn't have the same severity, if one doesn't need to fast on Tainus Esther, they do not need to make it up afterwards. Aval shar habriyim, but other healthy people, lo yifreshu es atzmam min hatzibur, they should not separate themselves from the Jewish community, and therefore they should be fasting along with everyone else. V'afilo mi shaholach baderech, even one who is traveling, v'kosher alav hatainis, and fasting is difficult for him, mikol makom tzorech lihisanos, nevertheless, he still must fast. It is brought down in the name of Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld that there's another reason why we are so lenient when it comes to Tainus Esther. What is the reason that we fast on Tainus Esther? Because this was the day that the Bnei Yisrael went out to battle. But which members of the Bnei Yisrael went out to battle? Certainly those who were weak and those who were ill didn't go out to fight, in which case they weren't fasting. So if they weren't fasting then today on Tainus Esther, those who are weak and those who are ill also do not need to go out and fight. Now, based on this logic, it sort of begs the question, well, how about other members of Bnei Yisrael who do not go out to fight, such as the women, or such as Shevet Levi? So there's actually a tshuva from the Binyan Shloma that deliberates whether or not Kohanim and Leviim have to fast on Tainus Esther. In practice, what is accepted is that Kohanim and Leviim do fast on Tainus Esther, and women who are not pregnant or nursing or just had a baby do fast on Tainus Esther. But whatever the case is, the logic, the svara of Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld is certainly quite fascinating. How about children? Should children be fasting on Tainus Esther? We're talking about for boys who are under the age of Bar Mitzvah and for girls who are under the age of Bas Mitzvah. So there's actually a machlokus between the Mishnah Berura and the Aruch HaShulchan in Simin Tav Kuf Nun regarding the minor fast in general. The Mishnah Berura says that there's no concept to be mechanech children who are under the age of Bar and Bas Mitzvah to fast on the minor fast, even for a few hours, which means you don't even have to have them fast for a few hours. It's not necessary. The Aruch HaShulchan argues, and he says that if the child is healthy, you should have the child fast for whatever number of hours is appropriate for his age. The mainstream halacha is definitely like the Mishnah Berura, and there would be argument to say that perhaps even the Aruch HaShulchan would agree that Tainus Esther, which has a more lenient status to it, there's no concept of children who are under Bar and Bas Mitzvah fasting at all, even Tainus Shas, according to anyone. Halacha Gimel. B'yom Yudalad Badar Hu Purim. The 14th day of the month of Adar is Purim. V'imchol Purim b'yom Aleph, and if Purim falls out on Sunday, makdimin lehesanos biyom hay, then we can't fast the previous day, which is Shabbos. We also will not fast on Friday. So rather what we do is we make the fast earlier on Thursday. The imyesh oz bris mila yasu es asuda belayla. And if there is a bris mila on that day, so they do the bris then, but the suuda they don't make until the nighttime, until Thursday night. Aval hasanda v'aviha ben mutaron le'achol bayom ve'ein sricha misanus b'yom vav. But the sanduk and the father of the baby is mutter to eat them that day, and they don't have to make up the fast. Now, why doesn't the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch say anything about the mother? It's obvious that if the father doesn't need to fast that day, nor does the mother. He doesn't say it because we said earlier that within 30 days after giving birth, in any case, a woman does not need to fast. However, let's say you would have a situation in which the bris of the baby is done more than a month after the baby was born. So normally, the mother would have to fast after 30 days. But since there's a bris that day, the halacha is that she would not need to fast. Now, by the way, the same thing would be true of a moel. The moel also does not need to fast. Aval adam acher, but anyone else, sheshochach v'ochal b'yom hay, that let's say they forgot, and by accident they ate on Thursday, yis'aneh b'yom vav, so then they have to make it up and fast the next day on Friday. Now, there is an opinion that is brought down in the Mishnah Brura that says that not just is it true about the father and the moel that and the sandek that they are allowed to eat, but anyone who comes to the bris is also allowed to eat. Now, they, unlike the father and the moel and the sandek, they would have to fast the next day. But this is one of the opinions that is brought down in the Mishnah Berurah. We are now up to the laws of Kriyas Megillah. There's a very interesting tshuva in the Binyan Shlomo, by Rav Shlomo Mivilna. He makes the argument that in the days of the Mishnah, there was not yet any takana to read the Megillah at night. In other words, the mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah was only during the daytime. And it wasn't until the era of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi that they established that the Megillah has to be read twice. Now, many other Mefarshim, many other Poskim argue on him, but it is fascinating that you don't find anywhere in Mishnah's Megillah, or anywhere else in Mishnah, any mention of reading at night. Halacha Dalid. Lechvod HaMegillah. Yesh lilbosh big day Shabbos mi be'erev. You should wear your Shabbos garments already from the evening. U'kishayava mi beis ha'kneses, and when he comes home from shul, yimtza be'beisa neros dolkos, he should find in his home that there are neros lit, the shulchan aruch, and the table set, u'mita mutza'as, and the beds made. His house should look Shabbos-tik. Arvis la'achas shmona esrei, at night after shmona esrei, omrim kaddish shalim im tiskabel the koronis of Megillah. So they read kaddish tiskabel and then they begin reading the Megillah. Achakach omrim viata kadosh. Afterwards they say viata kadosh. Achakach kaddish shalom below tiskabel. Afterwards, they say Kaddish without Tiskabel. By the way, there are other shittas that say that you do say with Tiskabel. Ubimotze Shabbos, vihi noam, viata kodosh, Kaddish olam below Tiskabel, viyitilacha, umavdilun alakos, aleinu. And the Motze Shabbos, the order of the tefillos are first you say vihi noam, then viata kodosh, then Kaddish sholem, then you say viyitin lacha, and then you do Havdalah, and then afterwards, Aleinu. Halacha Hey. Nogin litein kodem purim machatzis min hamatbeya hakavua ba'osa mokam uba'osa zman. The minig is to give before Purim a half of whatever is the main currency in that location at that time. Zecher lemachatzis hashekel, as a remembrance of the machatzis hashekel. That the Bnei Yisrael would give in the month of Adar for the purpose of the Karbonos. Now notice that it's referred to as Zecher L'Machzor HaShekel. It's only a remembrance to the Machzor HaShekel. A person should not say that they are giving Machzor HaShekel, because that might put it in a situation of questionable Hegdish. So what we're doing is we're giving something which is a zecher. It's merely a remembrance of Machzor HaShekel. How much must be given? Uminag litein gimel machzios mishum deparshios kisisa ksiv gimel pa'amim truma. The custom is to give three halves, because in Parsh Kisisa it says truma three times, which would mean, for example, in the United States, you would give three half dollars. V'nosnin ba'erev lifnei kriyas ha-Megillah, and it should be given in the evening before reading the Megillah. U'mechalkin osam la'aniyim, and it is going to be distributed to poor people. Now, there are some people that are strict that the zecher l'matzah ha-shekel has to be a coinage which is silver. So therefore, what they would do is they would use a silver half dollar, which you can't really get it in the United States anymore, if you have it from a long time ago, so you can still have these silver half dollars. The halacha is that katan pater, someone who's under bar mitzvah or bas mitzvah, is exempt. V'im aviv nosan bishvil lo pamachas, but let's say his father gave it on his behalf even once, chayev la'olam, then from then on, someone will have to give Machzor HaShekel on his behalf. Ben Yud Gimel Shana, a child, once he becomes 13, Yesh Omrim Dechayiv, some say at that point he is required to give Machzor HaShekel. V'yesh Omrim Depater, and others say that he's Pater, Achi Yehei Ben Esrim, until he is 20 years old. The Mishnah Berurah brings down that the minig is to give on behalf of children, even when they're young. And there's also a minig that a woman who is pregnant should give it not just on behalf of herself, but also on behalf of her unborn baby. The minig of giving money, zecher l'machzor HaShekel, is first mentioned in Maseches Sofrim. It's interesting, though, that the Rambam and the Mechaber and the Shulchan Aruch do not mention the minig at all, but the Ramah does mention it. Now, the Sfaradim still do practice the minig of Zecher L'Machzor HaShekel, even though the Mechaber doesn't bring it, because it is brought down in many other sources. Now, when the Ramah brings down this minug, he says it differently than it is brought in the Maseches Sofrim. Maseches Sofrim, it says, since it was revealed to the Creator that in the future Haman would collect 10,000 kikar kesef, therefore Hashem said to Moshe that he should collect Machzor HaShekel before Haman collects his Machzor HaShekel, so to speak. Because of that, he says it is necessary for Klal Yisrael to give their shkolim before Shabbos Parshas Zachar. Now that's not the way we practice this halacha. The way the Ramah brings it down is that it should be given on the evening of Tainus Esther before Kriyas Megillah. And the source of the Ramah is actually the Maril, who says that this is the time to give it. The Kaf HaChaim explains that it is appropriate to give the tzedakah money at the end of the Tainus, because then it allows the kapara of the Tainus to take effect. However, in Yerushalayim, where Kriyas Megillah does not follow Tainus Esther, there the common minog is to not give it on the tainis, but rather to give it before the Megillah reading. This is the way some posts can bring it down. There is a very interesting chakira that is brought down in the Sefer Nitei Gavriel. He wonders as follows. What happens if there's a boy who's 12 years old who will become bar mitzvah in the month of Adar, but after Purim? He wonders, is it possible for the father to give the Zechet L'Matzah HaShekel on his behalf before Purim? If after Purim, that's when he'll become the real Bar Chiyuva. In other words, it could be that even if the father gives Matzah HaShekel on behalf of his son when he's not Bar Mitzvah, according to the opinion that says that a 13-year-old would already be chayiv in the mitzvah of Zecher L'Matzah HaShekel, it could be that now once he becomes 13, even though it is after Purim, he would still be chayiv to give Matzah HaShekel.